And we'll call the last case of the day, Yasek versus Retirement Board. And could you pronounce your last name? Is it Pines or?
It's Plinus.
Plinus, sorry.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Thomas Plinus for the appellant. By virtue of plaintiff's age and service with the Chicago Police Department, in 1988 he was entitled to receive a pension from the Policeman's Annuity and Benefit Fund. That pension was property in the constitutional sense under Illinois law. As a result of his felony conviction, his entitlement to that pension was forfeited as punishment under that same state law. Plaintiff's position is that the pardon restored his property interest in his pension benefit.
Except he already got his money back.
That's correct, he did. And our position throughout this has been in order for him to reinstate his entitlement, he needs to pay the money back.
As I understand it, the law says that once he takes it, that's the end of that.
The state pension code does say that.
No.
It does contain certain repayment provisions, which we, you know, agree are not applicable here. But we believe that the power of the president to pardon
extends to changing the Illinois law as it relates to the pension.
The Illinois law will have to bend in order to.
There's nothing in the pardon that says anything about the restoration of his pension rights. Or
not specifically, no. But I believe that the various decisions of the United States Supreme Court, as well as this court's decision in Bajurken, if I'm pronouncing that correctly,
who knows,
make it very clear that the pardon eliminates the collateral consequences.
Yeah, well, the collateral consequences would be if he had not gotten his money back.
Right.
But once he makes the application and receives it, that's a decision he makes, isn't it?
No, it's not. Under Illinois law,
somebody can compel him to take it back?
Under the Illinois law, the fund must refund that money to him.
When he asked for it?
No, under any circumstances.
Did he ask for it?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
And of course, this is a distinguishable situation from Shields, because he waited until he was denied benefits in 92, but he waited until 99 to apply for his refund because he intended to pursue an appeal and the possibility of pardon. Couldn't your client have done the same thing and preserved the property interest? I mean, I have the same problem that Judge Bauer does, the fact that he's requested it and he's gotten it, even though he did that because of the conviction. I think that he has a real problem in establishing the property interest.
Well, I think that the district court holding that this was a voluntary election of a refund is erroneous. There's nothing in the complaint to indicate that this was voluntary. The court inferred that it was voluntary on a basis.
Well, he did apply for it, didn't he?
Of course, yes, he did.
He didn't have to, did he?
Yes, I believe he did.
He had to apply for it?
Yes, under the compelling circumstances.
There are other cases where they did not apply for it.
In fact, the Shields case would be one where he did apply for it, but applied for it later.
Yeah. Right, after the process was concluded.
Right.
He had that option.
Well, I don't believe he did have that option as a realistic matter.
He didn't exercise that option.
The man was penniless, and the board was required by law to give him his money back.
If he asked for it.
So, no, they can't keep it, Your Honor. They must refund it to him. But
why didn't he sit quietly and not want to refund it? Why did he ask for it?
Because the board sent him a letter saying, if you want your money, you have to initiate the process by filling out this refund form.
And he said,
even if he had not,
he needed the money, is what you're saying. That's the compelling That's the compelling interest.
That's the compelling interest, is that you needed the money.
Yeah, and that's where you have the problem, because it's not like I mean, you would be in a better situation if the board said when one is convicted of a felony, you must apply or the money will be forfeited, what you put in would be forfeited. Then he'd be obviously in a much stronger position, but it was his option. I understand you're saying the circumstances compelled him to get the money.
I'm saying
but
that.
But for us to try to carve out an exception to the Illinois law on that basis, I think would be problematic, and that's really what you would be asking us to do, isn't it?
In effect, yes. But I believe the argument is well-founded that under the Supremacy Clause, the President pardoned him. The only remaining consequence of his felony conviction is the forfeiture of his pension. State law cannot stand in the way of the President's power to pardon. And that, therefore, in this case, he's entitled to reinstate his entitlement to his pension by paying back the entire amount, and then the board will reinstate his pension. But the board had no right to keep his money.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he had filled out this piece of paper or not, the board would have been compelled by Illinois law, as evidenced by the Shields case, that they would have had to send him a check, in effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how they actually would have done it, but they would have had to give him his money back. And that's the core of the district court's decision, is that this was a voluntary election on his part. And the circumstances that existed at the time, plus the state statute, shows it's not a voluntary election. The district court never should have granted the motion to dismiss, because it did so on an inference constructed entirely by the court that this was a voluntary election. The court then went impermissibly farther and carved out an exception without any support in any of the prior decisions, that acceptance of this partial refund waived his entitlement to the entire amount, which, as I said in my reply brief, and this is probably because I've been reading all these Civil War cases, this is analogous to the Confederate or the Union Army walking off of the Confederate farmer's entire crop. And because he goes out and gleans the field in order to make it through winter time, he's now forfeited his entire interest in the crop. That's manifestly unjust. What we are asking this court to do is hold that the presidential pardon created restored a property interest in his pension, and that the board deprived him of that property interest without due process of law by refusing to provide him with a hearing and an opportunity to present evidence in support of his claim. Unless the court has any other questions, thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is David Kugler, and I represent the Retirement Board of the Policeman's Annuity and Benefit Fund. Your Honors, I had some prepared remarks that I was going to make, but in light of the court's questions, I can appreciate that the court does understand the nature of the arguments. In this case, what happened here was that Mr. Yacek was convicted of a felony. He forfeited certain rights under the felony statute 227. Mr. Yacek, 3 years after his conviction in 1991, by virtue of his own complaint, his own pleadings, both in his original complaint at law and his amended complaint at law, paragraph 8 thereof, indicated that he applied for a refund of his contributions, and the board gave him the refund. Now, in response to a question from the court, Mr. Polinas says, well, this wasn't voluntary because he had some financial problems and financial considerations. But his own complaint speaks against that, because if you look at his complaint, he applied in 1991 for the refund. 4 years went by when he never used the money that he had this financial need for, and he came back in 1995 that it was lost, and he got a replacement check. So much for the argument that the only reason he applied is that he had a financial need.
What would have happened to Yasser's fund contributions had he not applied for a refund? Could the board have kept them indefinitely?
Well, I don't know if about the question about indefinitely, but we have many situations where the board does not initiate the procedure. It's the officer who has to make the claim. The statute 163 indicates that once you take your money out, you have broken, I'll say, the contract relationship that you have. You have broken the claim.
You're entitled to your money back if you quit your job, and you don't want to wait for retirement too, aren't you?
If you quit your job at
they send me the money, and they have to send it to you.
If you request your money, we have to send it to you. Yes. If he requests his money, we have to send it to him. We're talking about sometimes these excuses. In this case, it's financial consideration. But you notice Judge Shields, absent the problem that he had with a felony conviction, was, to my understanding, a well-respected judge. He recognized the problem, I believe, in not taking his money out, and he left it there, as Your Honor indicated, and his complaint indicates, because he intended to pursue his appeal and or hope for a pardon at some point. The taking of the money out at Mr. Yasek's request broke the property interest claim. And Judge Guzman's decision in this matter, which I won't recount but read again but to the court, was correct. And we're asking that the court affirm the decision of the district court. Do you have any questions?
We have no questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time? 2 minutes? No rebuttal. You'll rest on your brief, Mr. Plinus. All right. We'll take the case under advisement. And